Okay, we're on Chaf Amid Beis, 20B3 second column, or Chaf Amid Beis, 14 lines from the end of the page. Gemara says, the last thing the Gemara said, but now it really starts a new thing, but the Gemara said that the Jews were commanded three mitzvahs when they came into Eretz Yisrael, to appoint a king, to destroy the Amalek, and to build a Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So now the Gemara says, Amar Shlokish says, initially, before Shlomo HaMelech did what he, you know, married all those Pari's daughter and all those guys, he ruled even over the upper beings, like the Malachim, the demons. He ruled everything. Like it says, Shlomo HaMelech sat on the throne of Hashem, meaning that even on the heavens he sat. Okay. Afterwards, Malach al ha-tachteinim, he whirled only on the lower beings, meaning the earthly creatures and people. Shenamak Yehudei de b'cholev ha-anor, he ruled the entire dominion of Eivar ha-anor from Tifsach bad Azo, which is an argument between Rav and Shmuel. Chadam et Tifsach b'seif ha-elam, v'azah b'seif ha-elam. Find a similar chagis by Achashverish, Mehidu v'at Kush. Was it one end of the world to the next end of the world, or were they next to each other? So Rav and Shmuel says, Ron says, Tifsach was at the end of the world, and Azu at the end of the world, and Chad Amad. And the other opinion says, Tifsach v'Azu v'Adi Adodi v'Yosu, they're mamish next to each other. Ukshem Shemolach al Tifsach v'Al Azu. And just like it's easy to rule two countries near each other, Kach Molach al Kol Ha'elam. Okay? So it says like this, Shlomo HaMelech, before he sinned, ruled over the malachim and the demons and everybody. Then eventually he ruled only on the earthy things. Ulabseif at the end, malach le malach el al Yisrael. He only ruled on the Jews. Shenema ani keheles hayisi malach al Yisrael. I am keheles. Shlomo HaMelech was keheles that ruled on the Yidden. Ulabseif le malach al Yerushalayim. As he went down, he only ruled on Yerushalayim. So it says divrei keheles ben David melach bi Yerushalayim. Safe at the end, Lemelech Elam Mitase. He only ruled on his bed.
What?
My man. Shinamei ne Mitase Shleimei. He the bed of Shleimei. Olav Safe. At the end, Lemelech Elam Makli. He only ruled the staff. Another we know because Shmuel, Shleimei Melech, by marrying all those women that they turned his heart away from Hashem. So the Gemara Rishakish is saying the digression of Shleimei Melech's rule. First he ruled on heaven and earth, then only on earth, then only on earth, and then only on the Eretz Yisrael, and then on Yerushalayim, and then on his end up he ruled over nothing except his stick.
Didn't he know that he's going down?
He didn't know.
Gemara
asked, Hadar Ayla Hadar. Did he ever come back to rule again over so many things or not? So Rav and Shmuel, there's an argument between Rav and Shmuel. Chad Omer Hoder, one opinion says he did return to become king over all those places that he lost before. But Chad Omer Loi Hoder, another person says Shlomo Melech never got back the initial rulership that he had over all the world. Man the Omer Loi Hoder, the one that says he didn't go back. For in other words, first he was Melech and then Hedyot. Then he became a commoner, and he never really became a king again. They say Melech, Hedyot, Umelech. He was a king, became a commoner, and then became a king again. What?
So who was ruling Persisol while he was ruling his staff?
I don't know.
He wasn't a king at the time he passed away. Had he passed it to his son?
Well, if. The Gemara says, according to the opinion, that he became back a king, so then it wasn't an issue. One opinion says, no, he died like that, and his son took over. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. The Mishnah said that a king, can, if he needs a path to travel, he can knock down walls, houses, whatever he needs to make a path. The Gemara says, Ton Rabbanon, Rabbanon went like this. Oh, but the Mishnah continued. The Mishnah said that when they have a war, so he says like this, the king would get 50% of the spoils. Everything they brought back from the war, the king would get 50%. So Gemara says like this, Tan Rabban Rabban Lent, Eitzis Melachim Lemelech. The treasures that they captured from the king, let's say they want to travel, conquer another country, right? So all the treasures they captured from the king. From the king is Lemelech belongs to the king. And all the other spoils that they get from the rest of the country, 50% goes to the king, and 50% goes to, divides amongst everybody else. The people that fought, and the people that stayed at home. So the king, if it was a treasure that they captured from a king, the king got it all. And the other spoils 50-50. Amalei Rabbi l'Rabdimi, Rabbi said to Rabdimi. Some people say Abaye said it to Rav Acha. Bishleima Eitzes Melachim LeMelech. I understand why the halacha is the treasures of a king go to the king, because it's only fitting that royal treasures should go to a royal king. Ela Shabiza, Shabezin Mechzel LeMelech Mechzel LeAm. But all the other spoils, that's 50-50. Minolam, where do we learn that out from? I mean, like, why should the king get 50% of everything else? You have to learn it out from a pasuk. There's a din that says, okay, it says, logical, I understand, what they capture from a king, the king takes. Because it's royalty, so a king should take it. But, all the other spoils, where do we see the king gets 50% of it? Maybe he gets like everybody else. So the Gemara answers, dechsib, because it says in the pasuk like this. They anointed him as a prince to Hashem and Tzadik the Kohen. Okay? Tzadik was anointed that day as Kohen Gadol. So it says, Makish Nagid L'Tzadik. So the Pasuk says like this. They appointed him as a prince and a Kohen. So we liken prince to Kohen. Mat Tzadik Mechzalei U'Mechzalech. Just like by a Kohen Gadol. It says, and the Gemara is going to ask, how do we know this? So it says, just make by a Kohen Gadol, when a Kohen Gadol worked in the Beis HaMikdash, half the korbanos went to him, and half was divided amongst the other Kohanim. So the same thing, Afnogid, the same thing, a prince, a king, Machzalei, Machzalech, it's 50-50. In other words, because one pasuk likens a king to a Kohen Gadol. And just, the Gemara is going to ask, how do we know by a Kohen Gadol? Let's take that. But just say by a Kohen Gadol, it's 50-50. Kohen Gadol gets half, and all the other Kohenim get half. The same thing, you're a king, the king gets 50%. So the Gemara says, the Tzadik Gufa Minolin. How do we know a Kohen Gadol also gets 50-50? So it says, the Tanya Rabbi Emir, it says in the Braisa, Rabbi said, it says, V'hoysa la'aron u'levonav. The Pasuk says it should be for Aaron and his children. So in other words, we liken Aaron to his children. Just like half Aaron and half the kids. Mechzel Aaron or Mechzel Abanav. Half Aaron and half the kids. So therefore we learn now from a pasuk, the Gemara says that a king gets 50% of all the other spoils, and the spoils they take directly from a king, that for sure the king gets. Okay? Okay, next Mishnah.
Was that ever done during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu? When they went and captured...
Moshe Rabbeinu Bachal didn't take spoils. He had a din of a king, but he didn't take it.
What did they do with the money?
In the midway, a lot they gave to build the Mishkan.
Even when they came out of the Mitzrayim, they didn't take anything.
No, but Bezer Sayami didn't take.
This week,
by the Yam.
They only became rich after.
Yeah. What?
This week, when we captured the Canaan.
Yeah.
They used the money for holding.
Yeah. But I'm saying, they used it either for the Mishkan, they kept it for themselves.
So King
together with the man fell diamonds from heaven. They had a lot of money. They just complained because they wanted to complain.
So the king has a reshut to decide to mochel it to everybody else? So he doesn't have to have it? Shlomo didn't have to
There is
it.
A din, like, it says, HaKohen HaGadol Me'achav, HaKohen Gadol, yeah? Who's greater than the rest. So it says, HaKohen Gadol has to be richer than all the other Kohenim. And if he wasn't richer, everybody had to give him money to make him richer. In other words, there was a certain awesomeness and respect that the king had to have everything, you know, it's just push it out
yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
Covered. Okay.
But now Moshe Rabbeinu could say Mochale?
Yeah, it could be made. Okay. Then the Mishnah says like this. Okay. Le'yarba le'noshim. He can't have too many wives, the Pasuk says. It's all about a king now. He's not allowed to have too many wives. Ela Shmeina Esri. He can only have 18 wives.
That's not enough.
It's not, okay, that's why it was a problem. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Mar Buhulei. No, you can have even more than 18. Ubavad Shliyim Mesiris Eslibi. Providing they don't turn them away from Hashem like Shlomo HaMelech's wife did. Because what does the Pasuk say in Chumash? Lo Yar Ben Noshim V'lo Yase Levavei. That his heart shouldn't be turned away. So the first opinion, the Gemara is going to say, we learn now from a Pasuk that a king is allowed to have 18 wives. The Gemara is going to say, because David HaMelech had 6, and nothing enough, he told him, if it's not enough, I'll triple it. So we learn 18. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no. The Pasuk says clearly, you can't have too many wives that will turn him away from Yiddishkeit. Which means, how many wives can he have? Providing that they don't turn him away from Yiddishkeit. Which, by the way, is a very big difference. Because according to the first opinion, he can have 18 wives regardless. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, let's say if 10 wives are too much to turn him away from Yiddishkeit, he can't have more than 10. In other words, it goes both ways. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he can have 100 wives if they're not going to turn him away. Or for that matter, if he has 5 wives and they turn him away, he also can't have. So Rabbi Yehuda basically says it's all up to how much negative influence they'll have on him. Okay, then it says like this, Rabbi Shimon Amed, Rabbi Shimon is I made a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon now. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he can have 18 for sure. But if they don't turn him away, he can have even more. Reb Shimon says, "Afilo achas, even if it's one wife, umesira eslibei, and she's going to turn him away from Yiddishkeit, harelo yisa, and he cannot marry her." So he says, "In Cain, lama nemer liyabeli noshim." So why does the Torah say, "Don't have many wives"? It should say, "You shouldn't get wives that turn you away from Yiddishkeit." He says, "Afilo avigayil, even if they're great like Avigayil," okay. Which Avigail was one of the 7 prophetesses. She was a very, very holy lady. He says what the Pasuk means, even if he has Avigail wives, he can only have 18. So there's 3 opinions in the Mishnah. The first opinion says he can have up to 18 regardless. Rabbi Yehuda says you can have more than 18 if they're not going to turn you away from Yiddishkeit. Rabbi Shimon holds that if they're bad, you can't even have one. And if they're good, Max, he can have his 18.
Shlomo
Melech stopped putting on tefillin? No. Shlomo Melech didn't turn out what the simple meaning of the pasuk. He didn't have, wasn't the great level. The Rambam says, when it speaks about that Shlomo Melech's wives, they wanted to turn him away, but they didn't actually turn him away. Okay.
What is the last Abigail? Where does that fit?
No, according to Rabbi Shimon, even if they're like Avigal, you're still up to 18 only.
Oh.
In other words, first opinion says 18 regardless. The view that says no. If they're good, you can have more than 18. Right?
So like 10 or 10 with
it. No, the Gemara is going to ask what's the difference between the different opinions. Okay, so the Gemara says, Lemeimra, Rabbi Yehuda, Dorosh Taima Dekra. Should we say, based on this, L'cha'era, Rabbi Yehuda is explaining the reason of the pasuk. Why lo yarbe lo nashim? Because they're going to turn him away. And Rabbi Shimon lo yidarish time of the kram. But Rabbi Shimon doesn't explain the reasons. Okay. In other words, Rabbi Shimon says it's only up to character of the women. If they're good, it's fine. But Sigmari says lo ipcha shamin and lei. But we learn the opposite. In other words, like this. The Gemara seems to imply that from our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda explains the reason of the Pasuk. In other words, because Hashem says don't have a lot of wives, why? That they shouldn't turn them away. So Rabbi Yehuda is explaining the reason. Rabbi Shimon says no, because even if they don't turn them away, you have to have 18 and not more.
Now, is it optional to have 18 or
he could
choice?
Have. He didn't have to.
You could have only one.
David HaMelech had 6. It means he lo yarbe lo yinoshim doesn't mean he has to have a lot of wives. He's allowed to have up to a certain amount.
Okay, I mean that's a mitzvah just for a king.
Right.
Like,
yeah, you could have eight. Well, you can't. Maybe it's fine.
Hashem tells me put a gun. Don't eat chazer. That's my mitzvah. And that's for every Jew. For Shlomo HaMelech, he couldn't marry too many wives. How did he go against an explicit mitzvah that was given to him?
Well, we'll see later in the Gemara, I believe they talk about it. But the bottom line is, Shlomo HaMelech said, the reason why they're going to turn me away is they're not. They're not. All Shlomo HaMelech's wives were converted to Yiddishkeit.
I'm sorry.
And
all of them?
All of
so
them.
So he interpreted the Pasuk.
I think God married to daughter of...
Paspari.
Oh.
And Shimshin, all his wives were Megaya.
How many did he have?
No, he had a few. Delila, there were others. The Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara mentions a few names.
So the way he translated the pasuk was only if they're going to turn you.
Correct.
You can't.
Correct.
Otherwise, you could.
Right.
He thought he was smart enough that they can't.
He thought he was great enough that he could.
Only had one. He was very sadly.
I know. No, so it says the one they can have. I mean, you can. It's not that you must marry.
So he didn't.
According to Shlomo HaMelech's opinion, he didn't. But according to the opinions of the Mishnah, that 18, regardless, we mentioned many times. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisuri Bia, he has Chas V'Sholem to say. That's what he says. Chas V'Sholem to say that Shimshin, who was Shofat, as you saw, judged the Jews, and his Shemesh Shemogen Hashem Elokim is compared to the level of Yudke Vavke, and Shlomo HaMelech married Chixis. Chas V'Sholem to say such a thing. How can you say Shlomo HaMelech to build the base of Middash? The Rambam says, Chas V'Sholem to say that. And the Rambam explains, people don't know this, but it's a very important Rambam in Hilchos Yisuri Bia. The Rambam explains that in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, the Jews had it so good physically that a lot of people were converting to Yiddishkeit for the wrong reasons. They were attracted for the wrong reasons. So the big Bezdin made it Takona. That you officially, the official policy is no converts. Period. No converts. Nevertheless, the Rambam writes, if a private Bezdin would feel that a person is worthy of converting, they would convert them. But the official policy was no conversions.
Like nowadays?
No. Not illegal conversion.
Yeah, but officially we don't do it unless no, the Bezdin.
I'm talking about officially Bezdin. The big Bezdin ruled that the official policy is no converts. Because everybody was converting for the wrong reason. But if they wanted to, if a Bezdin felt they were, so privately they did convert people. So Rambam says that all the women in Shlomo HaMelech's time converted. And Shimshin's wives all converted. Why are they calling Noshim Nochrias? Why are they calling non-Jewish women? Because the end result showed that they never meant it properly. But halachically, if a person converts by a proper Bezdin, and the Bezdin converts them, because at the beginning they meant it, even if they turn away, they're still Jewish. So Chas V'Sholem to think like the world thinks in the movies, that Shlomo HaMelech had all these shiksis and all these things, it's not true. They're all Jewish women. Delilah, Samson and Delilah, or Delilah, the Pesach calls her, she was Jewish. Shlomo HaMelech, I mean, Shimshin converted her. What?
Shlomo
credit. You don't have to give Shlomo Melech credit.
No,
he's credited enough.
I'm just saying, the halacha wasn't set as 18 till Mishnah.
No.
That a king can't have 18.
No. Was he in Abuda made up the halacha, you think?
They
it was given to Meshach Mishnah. Sinai.
They
had halachas. He did it because he said the reason the Pasuk said they shouldn't turn me away from you is because they're not going to turn me away.
But was it a strict ruling?
And that's what would happen to him eventually. He ended up ruling over his staff.
A normal man can get married to more than 18 before in a Gershom Stefana could get married.
Halacha is you can marry as many wives as you can, providing that you're able to support them.
So only a king is limited, but a normal man...
Only the king is limited.
It seems strange that a king should have more of the rights.
But the king, because he represents Klal Yisrael, he has to behave differently. One's enough.
So, all those people who converted, their children were Jewish.
Yeah.
And there were Jews all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Shlomo HaMelech didn't have many children. He had only one son.
No, Shlomo HaMelech.
Huh?
No, I think he had more. So it does not all the psukim does talks about them.
He had many daughters too, because in the Narachim it says the name of
the Torah only says the names of them. There are people, even the beginning of Chumash, it says in the lineage from Adam to Noach, right? That they had a son, and but there are a lot of people. Okay, there's a lot of people mention Yaakov Avinu. Yeah, according to one opinion, he had twin daughters with each Sheva. It was a twin daughter with Binyamin with two. Yeah, with Binyamin with two girls born, but the Torah doesn't talk about them. And Rashi says, according to opinion, they had it. They all died before they came down to Mitzrayim. Why? Because they weren't either important or great or whatever it is. They weren't talked about. So, okay. Anyway, so Gemara says like this. See, it seems that Rabbi Yehuda explains the reason of the pasuk. Okay, and therefore it's only people of poor character. And Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, even to virtuous women, the Torah says you can't have, even though the reason doesn't apply. So Gemara says, "Vayibcha Shaminil." We heard the opposite from them. Why? The Tanya says in the Braisha the following: Almana. It says like this in the Chumash. It seems you can't take a collateral from a widow. You know, years ago. In time of the Chumash was speaking, if I lent you money, you gave me a vessel or a blanket or something as collateral, right? So it says in the Torah, you shouldn't take leisachvel beged almano. You can't take from a widow because it's a pity on the widow. So now the Gemara is going to discover what happens if she's a wealthy widow. Can you also not take collateral? So it says like this: almano bein shi aniya bein shi yashira. Whether she's poor or rich, aim a mashkin and aisa. You can't take security from her. Shenemar leisachvul beged almana. Because the Torah says, period, you can't take the garment of a widow. And therefore, whether the reason applies or not, you can't. Divrei Rab Yehuda. Rab Shimon aimer, no, ashirim a mashkin and aisa. If she's rich, you could. Aniya aim a mashkin. If she's poor, not. And you have to return it to her. Because why? Because you're going to give her a bad name with the neighbors. What does this mean? Like this, the Torah says when you take collateral from somebody, if it's a blanket, you have to give it back to them at night. They need it at night. You can only take it during the day. If it's a day vessel, you can only take it at night and give it back during the day. So the Gemara says like this: if a man is going to borrow from a widow, and he's going to keep going in and out of her house to take it, give it back, take it, give it back, people are going to start talking about her. Mm. She's having an affair with this guy. She's a widow. It's going around. So Rabbi Shimon says, you know what? Aniya emashkineisa, and ba'ata chayv la'achzir, you must return it, and therefore a poor woman you can't. In other words, Rabbi Shimon says, you can't take collateral from a poor widow because people are going to, because then you have to give it back. The rich lady doesn't need it. So you're not going to keep going back and forth. But a poor woman, you have to give it back, the Torah says, right? So you're going to keep going back, you're going to create a... So what is Rabbi Shimon doing? Rabbi Shimon's explaining the reason of the pasuk. Therefore, the Torah says you can only take collateral from a rich woman because then you don't have to return it. She doesn't need it.
The Torah doesn't say rich woman or poor widow.
Yes, right. But that's the question. Do we learn the reason of the pasuk or not?
And also the Torah.
One second. So here we find the opposite of what we learned by us. By us, Rabbi Yehuda says there's a reason of 18 because she shouldn't turn you away. So he learns the reason of the pasuk. And Rabbi Shimon says, no. And here is just the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Torah says no, it's no. And if Shimon says no, there's a reason of it. And based on the reason, there's a difference between rich and poor.
What's going to happen is that nobody's going to lend for a widow. They can't take collateral, so they won't lend.
That's why the Torah says, nevertheless, you should anyway.
She's about the garments.
But it doesn't mean a garment. The garment is all inclusive.
That's so poor that you can only take their garment?
No. It doesn't only mean the garment.
If she's rich, why is Labia lending her money?
Who borrows more money today, the rich or the poor?
The rich.
What are you talking about?
Investment?
Who?
She has to buy a Bentley.
Rabbi, you said the pasuk says don't lend to a widow, but nevertheless you can't.
It doesn't say don't lend to a widow. It said don't take collateral from a widow.
But
that's what's going to
happen. It's the same thing.
It's the what?
When you lend somebody, then you get collateral from.
So the Torah says you can't take collateral from a widow.
You just lend them without collateral.
Right. So the first Rabbi Yehuda holds it doesn't matter if she's rich or poor, and Rabbi Shimon says it doesn't matter rich or poor, because why does the Torah say don't take collateral? You lent her money, why shouldn't you take collateral? So it says because Rabbi Shimon explains because you're going to give her a bad name if you keep going back and forth to give it back or not. And now the Gemara explains this. And they would say, what does it mean? Why are you going to give her a bad name? So he says, this is what it means. Because you take collateral from her, you have to return it each day. Therefore, you're going to give her a bad name of this man coming in and out. Amma, what do we see from here? Rabbi Yehuda loy darish time of the kro. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't explain the reason. Rabbi Yehuda takes the pasuk as it is, whether the reason applies or not. And Rabbi Shimon darish time of the kro. So lechayr is just the opposite of what we have here.
Didn't we learn that he's not allowed to go inside; he has to stay outside?
That's to take a collateral. To take a collateral, if you don't get, there's two types of collaterals the Torah is speaking about. At the time of the loan. Or when the date came and he didn't pay back and you want to take a collateral. There's two different collaterals Terry speaks about. When Terry says, don't go into the house to take a collateral, he's speaking if you didn't take originally. Mm-hmm. Let's see, you were supposed to pay up in 30 days, he didn't pay. So now you want to take a collateral. So the Terry says, no, you can't go into the house to do it. He has to bring it out.
Or to collect.
Right.
But at the time, is okay?
What?
At the time of the loan?
Yeah. But not pay an almona. Almona.
To collect the debt also, right?
Yeah. Okay, so my answer is like this. Ba'alma Rabbi Yehuda loy darish time of the kro. You're right. Normally Rabbi Yehuda doesn't explain the reason, like by Almana. But over here by a king it's different, because the Torah itself says the reason. The Torah says, the mefarish time of the kro, matam lo yarba le noshim, because the Torah itself says why. Why shouldn't you marry a lot of women? Mishum de lo yasa levavi. Because they shouldn't turn them away. Therefore Rabbi Yehuda holds, even if more than 18, as long as she doesn't turn you away, it's okay. Because over here, in other words, like this. Normally, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't explain the reason of the pasuk. The Torah says, no collateral from a widow, that's it, period. Whether the reason applies or not. The reasons don't matter. But over here is different because the Torah clearly says, don't take a lot of wives because she's going to turn you away. Therefore, the Yehuda holds, what happens if she's not going to turn you away? Then you can have more than 18. And Rav Shimon Amalach, Rav Shimon will tell you like this. Baal Madashin in time of the crop. Really, I do learn the reasons. Like by Yamana with the collateral. Why by a king does Rav Shimon say the reason doesn't apply? Lichtev kro leyarba lenoshim leyarba lenoshim. Because then the Torah should have said, don't get a lot of wives. And I would understand. Why not? Because it shall turn you away from Yiddishkeit. So why does the Torah say the reason she shouldn't turn you away? The Torah should just say, don't have a lot of wives. And I'll understand why. Because a lot of wives are going to turn you away from Yiddishkeit. I feel, therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, even if it's one, and she's going to turn you away, you can't marry her. So then why does the Torah say layarva? Because even if she's like Avigayo, you still can't have a lot of wives. In other words, Shimon says like this. The reason is understood because you can't turn them away. They shouldn't turn your heart away from Yiddishkeit. But the Torah could have just said layarva leinoshim. Period. And I understand the reason. It's understood. Why can't he have a lot of wives? Money he has. Well, what's the issue with a lot of wives? Obviously, because it turned away from Yiddishkeit. So then why does the Torah say don't have a lot of wives? Because it means even if they're great, holy, like Abigail, and they won't turn them away from Yiddishkeit, you still cannot have more than 18. Even the righteous wives, 18. So Gemara said like this, Hanishmana Esri Minolan. From where do we learn that in the number 18? The Torah just says, Liyar B'lay Noshim. Maybe it's Mesa, that's 401. I mean, 440. Okay, it says something like this. It says in the Pasuk like this. Yivaldu the David Banim Mechevin. David HaMelech had kids in Chevron. Okay? And it says, Vayi Becher Amnam Lachinayam Ayizraelis. He says, the first one was Amnon born to Achinayam. Mishnah, the second was Kila of Lavigail, Ashes Novel, a Carmel. Mishlish of Sholman Macha. Avia Denia Ben Chagas, Ramish, Shvatim, and Eftar, Shishi, Yisim, Lagla, Ashes David. Okay? Now, Elu Yudul, David Bechevin. The Pasuk mentions David and Melech had six kids, and it says from six different wives. In Chevron, okay? Because David and Melech initially ruled in Chevron. It's a Daftar, we were in Daftar. Right? David and Melech initially ruled in Chevron. So what happened was, the Pasuk says clearly, David HaMelech had six kids from six different wives. Okay, now, the Ka'armel Navi and the Nosan HaNavi said to David, Ima'at, if they're too little, V'aisalach, I will add, Kohena V'Kohena, I will triple it. Just Kohena V'Kohena, right? I'll give it triple. Kohena Shis, when it says like this is six, Kohena Shis is another six, right? Because he has, it's a double expression, kahena v'chahena. So kahena means double what you have now, and then kahena means triple. Okay? So now the Gemara says, how do you know it means six plus six plus six? Maybe it means six plus six, 12, and double 12. So Gemara says, maskula ravino. Heina, maybe Chahena means type to say 12. And Chahena is Esen Rabba, 24. Now, how do you know it means 6 plus 6 plus 6? Maybe it means 6 plus 6 is 12. And then Chahena is another 12. And the Gemara says, Taket Tanya Namiyachi, so says in the Braise, Lo Yarba Lo Noshim, more than Yasim Esen Rabba. There's Taket Braise that says 24. Our Mishnah holds 18. But there is a braisa that says 24. And then the Gemara says, so he said, and not only that, Leman de Dorish Vav, the opinion that learns an extra Vav, Arba Shmeina, 48 wives. Because it says like this, Chahena, V'Chahena. So according to one opinion, it's like this, Chahena, he had six. Chahena is another six, is 12. Then Chahena is double that, is 24. But it says v'chahena extra vav because it's kahena kahena, so it says 48 wives. And the Gemara says Tanya Nami Hachi. So Taka, there's another brayser that says liyabel noshim me arba yaisim me abar mishmeinu, not more than 48.
Imagine if they all have PMS together.
No, why they don't live from Moshe and Aharon? They live from the Gentile king.
Because this is what the Torah says. 1 minute. But Tana, so 1 second. So now the question is, why does our Tana only hold 18? Okay, if you think about it, Kohena is 12, and then Kohena should be another 12.
Rabbi, we should change the subject. It makes me feel so deprived.
Well, you're not a king. You can have as many as you want.
Well,
let me just finish. But Tana did on my time. Amirav, Makish Kohena, Basel, Kohena, Kama. Because he learns, Amish learns, Kohena v'Kohena means, whatever the first Kohena means, the second Kohena means. So just say Kohena means six, the second Kohena means six. So it's triple.
How do you get Kohena, six out of Kohena? What is that?
No, because he says, David HaMelech had six wives.
Uh-huh.
So he said, if you want, I'll give you as many, and as many. Mm-hmm. So he learns, just like the first as many means six, mm-hmm. So the second as many also means six. Malchayne kama shis, avka basa shis. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. Va'ava Michal. David Amel, it says in the passage, David Amel also had a wife Michal, that's not mentioned in the six. So David Amel had 7 wives.
Shaul's daughter.
But L'chera, so then the whole thing of 18 is wrong. It should be 20, 21. Right? So the Gemara says, no. Egla zu Michal. One of the 6 wives is called Egla. And that's Michal. It's the same person. V'la menikr shma Egla. So why was she called Egla? Shechaviva olav ke Egla. She was as precious to him like a calf. No, what does it mean? Yeah. No, it means, I'll give you an example. When people, and there's an expression of endearment to children, they call you Shepsela. You know, they call little kids Shepsela, which is a lamb. It's an expression of endearment. So he says he loved her so much, like people have this expression of endearment of Egla.
This doesn't include the concubines, does it?
1 minute, the Gemara's going to have a question about this. Wait, you're going to make him crazy now with the concubines.
Rabbi, at this time David HaMelech was ill.
And ill?
Not, wasn't he sick when Nathan came to him and says he was very cold, he felt very cold?
That's in the end of his life, HaMelech David Zaken.
Is this when he offered him the wives?
No, before.
But at that time they offered him a wife too, right?
No, they said if there's not enough. Here.
Young blood. Absolutely.
You bring down over here at the bottom, by the way, that the Mashal explains, that David really married Bathsheba at this time, which was for sure 7. But Nasan, because that was against the will of Hashem, Nasan and Navi is not going to count that. I'm going to triple that because, as far as they were concerned, David, not that he sinned, God forbid. The Gemara says he never sinned, but the Gemara says he did what he shouldn't have done. Yeah.